Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Now, the government will set out its economic recovery plan later today for the country's emergence out of pandemic restrictions, and there'll be a lot of focus on how the pandemic unemployment payment and wage subsidy schemes are to phase out as part of that. Now, the PUP is expected to close to new entrants from next month and will then reduce by instalments of €50 from September before eventually bringing everyone back to the job seekers allowance level of €203. In a moment, I'll be joined by Dr. Laura Bambrick, who's Head of Social Policy and Employment Affairs with the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, and Cormac Lucy, economic columnist with the Sunday Times and former government advisor. But first on the line is Mohammed Alkurd, who's owner of Lombre Hair and Beauty. And Mohammed, we spoke last week about the fact that you're finding it difficult to find staff because the PUP payment means that for some people it's not worthwhile. So what's your reaction to what you're hearing in relation to the wind down of the payment and the fact that it might not be fully gone until potentially February of 2022?
Good morning, Claire. I heard just in the news about the PUP payment that will be starting to be reduced by September. So it's, in my opinion, I don't know why the government they need to wait till September. I understand the whole sector is they will be back to work by July or August. So in my opinion, I believe it should start to reduce the PUP from next week or by early July.
Yeah, maybe it should be sectoral, do you think? Like for you, for example, the hairdressing and beauty businesses are open now. So would you think it might be a good idea to look at sectors and say, well, the PUP isn't needed there anymore, those people can be back to work?
Yes, that's correct, Claire. Like our sector is back to work on May 10th, which is about 3 weeks from 3 weeks. And there are still people are claiming the PUP. For example, if you look on Indeed itself, there are more than 2,700 advertisements for stylists and beauty therapist jobs in Ireland. And I'm sure if you check with the Department of Social Protection, you will find there are thousands of stylists and beauty therapists claiming the PUP. How does that mean anything?
Yeah, I suppose, though, for some people, they might say that the salons they worked in closed. So there might be all of those jobs advertised. But, you know, a job 50 miles away from your home is probably not going to work for you if your salon that you used to work in down the road has closed because of the pandemic.
Yeah, true. But like our company itself at the moment, we have about 23 vacancies are available. And if you look at last lockdown back in December 24th, we closed our doors with 166 employees and opened earlier last month with 144 employees. 22 employees have no interest to come back. Mm-hmm. So the question is why? Why they don't get contacted by the Department of Social Protection and check with them, or at least to check with us, to find out if there is a job available for them or not.
And you believe revenue should be in a position to notify the Department of Social Protection once a business reopens. So once revenue knows that you're reopened, revenue should let the Department of Social Protection know. And from that point, somebody who is meant to be back at work with you, you believe should have their PUP cut off.
Yes, absolutely, because the revenue, I believe they have very smart system in place. For example, when we were closed, we were claiming the CRSS payment. And when we back to work on the 10th of May, the next day, on the 11th of May, we got a notification from the revenue saying that our sector back to work and the claim should be closed. So my question, if they were able to know that we back to work the next day and ask us to close our claims, why they weren't able to contact the employees to inform them that their sectors which they were working for is back to work, and they have to close their claims.
So your business support, your CRSP payment, that was gone the minute you reopened, and you're saying, why isn't it the same for the employees?
Literally the next day we got notification to close our claim. Okay.
We have several people getting in touch with us this morning, Mohammed, asking whether what you're offering in terms of wages is that amount, our listeners would like to know, less than €350?
No, the minimum at the moment for any hairdressers, and when I'm talking now about apprentice, like a junior stylist, it's €414. That's the minimum for a full time.
It's not far off the 350, though, in fairness.
It is far from the 350.
No, it's not far off the 350, is my point.
Sorry. Yeah, it's for 40 hours. I'm talking about the junior stylist, which they have no any experience, because that's the minimum wage is 10.20 per hour. You are talking about 420. But I'm talking about the fully qualified stylist. Their rate can be anything from 650 up to 1,200.
Okay. Mohammed, thanks again for talking to us. Laura Bambrick has been listening to that, Head of Social Policy and Employment Affairs with the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. Good morning, Laura.
Morning, Claire.
What do you make of what Mohammed has to say? The minute he opened his doors, his business support payments stopped, and he's wondering why it isn't the same for employees in his sector who can still claim the PUP.
Okay, well, I suppose to look at the big picture first, Claire. Good public policy, when we're designing it, and that includes decisions around when and how income supports are removed, is not designed on the hearsay of individual employers. It's based on facts, on evidence. Mm-hmm. And the fact shows that only 75 employers have contacted the Department of Social Protection since the reopening began in May to report incidents of staff refusing to go back to work. Now, unfortunately, this is not our first reopening. We reopened back in summer of last year, and that gives us an evidence base of how people respond. And we witnessed 400,000 workers willingly close their pub claim and return to work. And we've already seen in this month alone, 100,000 workers have gone back to work. They've met government's own target of the number of workers. Now, am I saying there's nobody creaming the system? No. But again, good public policy is designed to is not designed to prevent the actions of the few bad apples. It's designed to work for the vast majority. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not here saying that government should cut the subsidies to all businesses because Revenue are currently investigating wage scheme abuses by a few hundred firms. So if what's being espoused here today is collective punishment for all workers based on the bad actions of the few, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But that is not how policy works.
Is there an argument, though, Laura, to wind up PUP faster if things are reopening in general, but leave it open to bring it back if, for example, a variant kicks off, leaving us back in some form of lockdown?
Yeah, well, we would have seen that last July when government opened published a very similar to what they're going to publish later today. They published their plans for reopening, and we saw how they were planning to gradually reduce it over time. They were also going to close it off to new claims. We've been here before, and those plans had to be rolled back when we had local lockdowns, and then eventually we had another national lockdown in October. So the issue is it's really difficult doing sectoral approaches, because when does somebody work directly for an industry, or when do they work in a job that is indirectly fully reliant on that industry? So sectoral responses, yes, they're important, but they can be really difficult. So I can understand why government are taking this approach to leave it as it is until September, allow as many businesses that are still there to reopen and then start the gradual rewinding. But issues around hairdressers and other people, when their industry has come back to work, why aren't they returning? We're seeing this in construction as well. We're seeing over 20,000 workers in construction still on. Unions have long pointed to issues around bogus self-employment. That's where workers, they're treated like employees when they're on the job, but they're treated like self-employed for tax purposes. And this is rife in these particular industries, in construction, in the beauty, in events, in media. And within the rules of PUP, a self-employed person can earn up to €960 over an 8-week period and still be legally, legitimately eligible for a PUP entitlement. So people can be working. They're not working in the shadow economy once they're declaring that for tax purpose, and they are still eligible for the PUP. Mm-hmm. And despite repeated asks from trade union, the Department of Social Protection have failed to provide us with numbers, the numbers of self-employed recipients.
Okay, so there could be some people who are back at work but who are still able to claim if they're earning low amounts.
Disregards are allowed work.
Can I just ask you for your take on the overall pace, if what we're hearing is the case, that it will start winding down very soon and then up to February of next year. What's your view of the pace of that, Laura?
I think we're going to have to wait and see where we are to September. So at the moment, the so-called cliff edge has been moved from the end of this month, the 30th of June, to September. And then we'll start seeing the tapering. But by September, we will know how much aviation has opened up, how much the arts and the industries that have been absolutely decimated at the moment, they can't open up. So we'll have a better picture of then the pace of the tapering. But as I said, we expected tapering. This is an emergency payment.
Okay.
We weren't looking for it to be a permanent source of government, so all this right. is to be expected.
Laura, stay with me because Cormac Lucy, as I said, is with us as well, economist and columnist with the Sunday Times. Cormac, you're welcome to the programme. Now, I know you believe that emergency payments shouldn't be withdrawn too quickly, but you also say that there has been a significant increase in private sector savings since the start of the pandemic. Are you linking the two?
Well, I think the big build-up of private sector savings suggests substantial pent-up consumer demand. We saw the storming of the capital in the USA in January, but we saw the storming here in this country of penny stores when they reopened. We see the traffic on the roads. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a much sharper than expected rebound in economic activity. And I think the big constraint is going to be health factors. And health factors may limit the capacity of the authorities to open up pubs, to allow theatres and the arts to fully reopen. And it may put people off flying, although I suspect there's huge. If I look at the Ryanair share price, it's higher now than it was when the pandemic broke out. So these are all signs in the wind that there is considerable pent-up demand because the scale of official policy stimulus on both sides of the Atlantic in reaction to the pandemic has been so large.
Are you concerned about how we're going to pay for this? We have €28.8 billion in COVID-related borrowing.
We do. I'm less concerned about the COVID borrowing because that may have a finite end. I'm more concerned that in the budget for this year that was announced last October, that the government pushed through a 6% increase in underlying, i.e. non-COVID spending. This at a time when prices were going backwards then, and the Exchequer data to the end of April indicate that we're overshooting that spending. So I reckon there's roughly a 10% increase in real government spending at the minute, excluding COVID factors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel I'm getting 10% more or better public services. I think a lot of this money is inefficiently spent. It's adding unnecessarily to the debt, and somebody's going to have to pay this at some stage down the line.
Okay, can we come back to the PUP and how it should be brought to a gradual end and when that should happen? I'm sure you heard Mohammed earlier, who runs a number of salons in Dublin. He has this staffing crisis in his industry. He told us last week, in fact, that he had to turn 40% of business away because he simply doesn't have the staff to take the clients. How problematic is that for the government as it tries to wean people off the PUP?
I think it's a big problem, and I don't think it's just a problem here. The April jobs figures in the United States indicated that job vacancies grew substantially more than jobs being filled. And there are similar concerns being raised over there. And I wouldn't take the number of employers who go to the bother of reporting this to the Department of Social Protection as a measure of the facts. I absolutely believe Mohammed, and whether or not he reported this to the Department of Social Protection doesn't alter the facts facing him and probably the facts facing many other. Now, it's good that some citizens and some employers do report these problems, but I wouldn't think it's realistic to expect that they're all reporting it. But leaving all that aside, I think your point, Claire, about maybe making this pup sector-specific merits consideration, and maybe rather than having the pup as a flat rate payment, have it in some way related to prior earnings, prior tax payments, so that it is more tailored.
It's very difficult to do that, though. And Laura made the point really well. You know, if you're not directly employed by the airline industry, but you're making sandwiches for the staff, you're going to be excluded from any sectoral payment in that instance, but you still can't work.
True. And that's why, you know, I think the question of the pup is essentially tactical rather than one of principle. The pup was absolutely needed when the pandemic hit us first. It is still needed to a considerable extent. And it's really down to the jobs market on the one hand and the state of the pandemic on the other as to how quickly or how slowly we ease it off the stage. And, you know, I think there is a case for waiting for the data from the reopening that we're now experiencing with hotels reopening tomorrow and seeing, you know, after a month or two, well, what effect does that have? And if it's clear at that stage that there is a considerable disincentive effect from the pup, well, then a different line will have to be taken.
Mm-hmm. So you agree then, I take it, with this plan, as has been reported, that the wind down starts in September?
I think so. Now, at a political level, the government would rather be accused of being too generous than too stingy. And the hardship cases here are more likely to arise from a premature withdrawal of PUP than from letting it run on somewhat longer than it should run on.
Okay.
So I can see there's a rational political choice there that makes sense to me.
Okay, Cormac Lucy, Dr. Laura Bambrick and Mohammed Al-Kurd, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Lots of messages on this. John says the time has surely come for universal basic income to replace all the social protection payments. If you were on ordinary social welfare payment before COVID, says another, then looking at a part-time worker on €350 looks very unfair. I don't think a part-time worker gets €350. I think that was changed a number of months ago. The PUP should be graduated back to standard social welfare payments. Another bill says people who say the pup should be reduced have no idea what it's like trying to live on €300 a week. We all want to be working, but if it is to be cut, we will be in dire straits. 51551 for your messages. Now, we're going to be finding out about travelling overseas later this summer, the likely PCR requirements and how much it's going to cost you after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.